Let's look at Judges chapter 7, and we're going to look at the first 15 verses there. And this amazing journey, I call this Battle Gideon, and I only call it Battle Gideon because I've been watching too much of the Food Network, and just seemed like a great title because they have battle whatever food that's going on. And this is just an amazing moment. Now, you might recall from Judges 6, Gideon has been testing God. You remember we had that great discussion about knowing the will of God, and I hope you were able to take what we had last week home and apply it and look at it. And I mean, what could be more important than you and I asking the question, what is the will of God? And he, of course, did this fleece, and we talked about fleeces and what they might mean and all that. And so now he has a sense that God is indeed speaking to him and directing him into this battle to overcome the Midianites. You remember the Midianites and the Amalekites that are coming are tribal nations that are so many, they're described as like locusts on the field, and they're coming to rob Israel of its produce, coming to rob Israel of all of its fruit, of the labor, and they're just really tired of it. But they're also, they've been struggling with integrating the gods of the Midianites, Baal worship, and there's idol worship, and if you will, they're starting to move away from the one true God, Yahweh. So a lot's going on, and now we're about to face the beginnings of the battle. And if we begin there about verse 1 or 2, it says, "The Lord said to Gideon, 'You have too many warriors with you. If I let you, if I let all of you fight the Midianites, the Israelites will boast to me that they saved themselves by their own strength. Therefore, tell the people, whoever is timid and afraid, they may leave and go home.'" Now, you've got to think about that moment when God comes and talks to Gideon, because at this point in time, he is way outnumbered. And for God to come and tell him, "I think you have too many," I mean, we're going to look at that. So keep that back of your mind. But there's something critical in that one verse. And you ought to underline that verse, because that is that's the key verse. That's why I'm stopping here. "You have too many warriors. Why? If I let all of you fight the Midianites, the Israelites will boast to me that they saved themselves by their own strength." Critical right there. All right, let's just go ahead and I'll just read it through without any more commentary. 22,000 of them went home, leaving only 10,000 who were willing to fight. But the Lord told Gideon, "There's still too many. Bring them down to the spring and I'll sort out who will go with you and who will not." And Gideon took the warriors down the water, and the Lord told him, "Divide the men into two groups. In one group, put all those who cup water in their hands and lap it up with their tongues like dogs, and in the other group, put all those who kneel down and drink with their mouths in the stream." Only 300 men drank from their hands. All the others got down on their knees and drank with their mouths in the stream. The Lord told Gideon, "With at least 300, I will rescue you and give you a victory over the Midianites. Send all the others home." So Gideon collected the provisions, the ram horns of all the other warriors, and sent them home. But he kept the 300 men with him. Now, the Midianite camp was in the valley just below Gideon, and during the night, the Lord said, "Get up. Get up at 5:30, and you need to go to the Midianite camp, for I have given you victory over them. But if you are afraid to attack, go down to the camp with your servant Purah and listen to what the Midianites are saying, and you'll be greatly encouraged, and then you'll be eager to attack." So Gideon took Purah and went down to the outpost of the enemy camp, and the armies of Midian and Amalekite and the people of the east who had settled in the valley like a swarm of locusts. Their camels were like grains of sand on the seashore, too many to count. Gideon crept up just as a man was telling his friend about a dream. The man said, "I had this dream. And in this dream, a loaf of barley bread came tumbling down into the Midianite camp. It hit a tent, turned it over, and knocked it flat." His friend said, "Your dream can mean only one thing. God has given Gideon, son of Joash the Israelite, victory over all the armies united with Midian." Well, Gideon heard that dream and its interpretation. He thanked God. He returned to the Israelite camp and shouted, "Get up, for the Lord has given you victory over the Midianites." What an amazing, I mean, this would make a great movie. And what you have to see here is, here it is. Gideon and his men are about ready to go to war with the Midianites. At this point, in the very beginning, what we were reading, basically, Gideon had 32,000 men to fight. 32,000 men. The Midianites had an army of 135,000. They were outnumbered, basically, 4-1. And so God comes to Gideon. And I'm sure Gideon was expecting God to say, you need another 100,000 men. Absolutely. And Gideon says, let's at least make this equal, because with God, if there's at least a 1-1 fight here, we'll be sure to win. Of course, God comes to Gideon and says, you have 32,000. And I can hear the conversation, oh God, thank you for coming. I was concerned about the number. I was concerned that you're going to make me go into battle outnumbered 4-1. And then God says, no, Gideon, no, you really don't need as many as you have, because this is my battle, and I want you to send home everyone who's afraid. I can see Gideon saying, everyone's afraid. I'm up here by myself. And so he goes, and indeed, and so can you imagine the scene? You got 32,000 men, 22,000 turn on about face and start going home. Can you imagine the commotion of that? I mean, you got 32,000 troops in front of you. All right, everyone's afraid, go home. And at that moment, 22,000 are backing up and going away. That's a huge number in that group. And can you imagine being the 10,000 looking around going, did I miss a memo? Everyone's leaving. So now he's not outnumbered 4-1. Mathematically, he's outnumbered 13-1. And God came to Gideon, and this has got to be comical, because if you're Gideon, you're thinking, God, I'm down to 13-1. Anyone, I'm not a general, really. I'm a farmer, and I'm the guy who was crushing wheat in the wine press, but, well, you got to have something pretty amazing that you're going to share with me. And God says, hey, you know, there's still too many. And I'm sure Gideon's like, oh, oy vey, this is not working. And God says, take him down the water. We'll filter out those who, you know. And I can see Gideon thinking, okay, we're going to get the best of the best. We're going to get the elite. We're going to get the fighting men. So God's going to find out. So God says, what I want you to do is we're going to watch these guys, separate these men into two groups, and those who go down and kind of drink the water like this, you know, and those guys you're going to set aside, and those who just get down on their knees and, you know, do this kind of a thing and drink the water, we're going to separate them in another group. And sure enough, you know, the guys who did this, there were only about 300 guys, and 9,700 other guys got down and drank water. And I'm sure Gideon's thinking, okay, these are 9,700 amazing troops, and, you know, those are the ones that I'm going to go with them. These 300 are going to go home. God says, no, send the 9,700 home. All you need is those 300 guys. Now, I've often seen the study of this passage a lot. And remember, these 300 men lapped the water with their hands to their mouths and are described as lapping water like what? Dogs. Now, I've heard it said, well, these guys did it because, you know, they were like acting like trained warriors. They were alert and vigilant to what was around them. That's why they didn't kneel down, and on it goes. Here's something that you need to remember if you don't know this. Especially in the Old Testament, anytime dogs are spoken of, dogs, I mean, we love our dogs today, right? And we treat them, unfortunately, better than people. Back then, dogs were like derogatory. When you said, you're a dog, like today, hey, how's it going, dog? You kind of get this, well, yeah, I'm one of the gang. If you said it back then, the guy would hit you and kill you, because that is like saying the worst thing that you can think of to actually put someone down, and that's not a compliment. So when you say, hey, you're a dog, how's it going, dog, or whatever, like that kind of old kind of slang thing, back then, they'd kill you, because you are giving one of the greatest possible insults and put down that you can do that. And so what you got here basically is a statement is, Lee's guys, and I don't know how to frame this, and I apologize if this is offensive to you IT guys, but it's basically he's got 300 geeks or nerds left over to fight the battle. And they don't have computers. I mean, basically, what the word is saying, these other guys, these are not the elite troops. These are not SEAL troops here. These are 300 men that, for whatever reason and how they did what they did, these are the guys that you can picture in a movie. They got their sword and they're tripping over their sword. They can't carry their equipment very well. They have had no training and they have no idea what they're doing. And basically, God is saying, with these men, you're going to destroy the enemy of the Mennonites. And so you're not 4-1. You're not 13-1. You're now 450-1. For every one of you, there's 450 of them. So how many of you are ready to go to battle? But the message is so clear and so critical. Because the point of what God is saying to you and I and to those who read this word is that it must be perfectly clear that you will not win the victory by your cleverness, by your engineering, by your ability, but you will win this victory only because I am with you. And there's something to be remembered for you and I to understand that a lot of times we enter into battle and we forget that the battle we enter into is God's battle and not ours. One of the biggest mistakes we make as a church across America, what you and I can make as leaders, is we enter into a battle somehow thinking it is up to me to be clever or intelligent or strategic or however you want to frame that. And I'm not minimizing using intelligence and abilities, but ultimately the reality is the battle will be won by God. And to God be all the glory. But we don't do that very well. And this is part of the problem. Israel has got itself so intertwined with idol worship, with Baal worship, they've been so infiltrated by another culture that what's basically happening is the Israelites, you can't tell them apart from the Mennonites almost. It's coming to that place where they're becoming so enmeshed culturally that God has to do something radical to disengage this whole thing. And one of those things, because you got to remember, what is it that Gideon just got done doing in chapter 6? He just got done breaking down a Midianite or Baal idol. And who built that idol? His dad. Now, yes, his dad got the message and stood up against all that, but his dad built that idol. There were a lot of dads who built idols. And so this was a huge, if you will, pull that God was saying, I got to get you out of this thing. I got to get you away from this kind of worship. And the only way you're going to really pull back and figure all this out is realize I'm the one who brings victory in your life. And sometimes you and I need to understand the same thing. Because we can get so much of the world and the culture enmeshed into our lives that God needs to do something radical that says, look it, we can't keep going this way. And so I'm going to put you in a position, a very important position, so that you will know the only way you're going to win this thing is by my hand. So that you again will worship the one true God. His name is Jesus. But we sometimes allow Mennonites to overrun us. We sometimes allow Amalekites to come into our lives and overtake us. I was thinking about how some of that happens, and I was thinking about worry. I was thinking about anxiousness. I was thinking about fear. I was thinking about these sometimes can become the things that are Mennonites in our lives that overtake us, that we now think the only answer is, well, I need to be clever. I need to be smart. I need to be strategic. When the answer, and I come to this just last night going through something, I came back to the same answer. God, I need your help. I cannot do this and solve this. I realize that some of the stuff I'm facing is so big and overwhelming. My intelligence, my strategic plans is not going to win the day, but yours is. And I just felt as I was falling asleep, I could hear God telling me, Steve, it's going to be all right. We will walk through this together. Just depend upon me. Trust me. And I know God's telling me I got to trust him. I need to obey him. And he'll give me strength. He'll give me wisdom. And I'll be again, as I have been over and over and over again in my life, surprised by the strength and the power and the wisdom of God that overcomes amazing situations. You know, Philippians tells us, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for what he's done. If you do this, you will experience God's peace. If you rely upon God and trust him, you'll experience his peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And in addition to that, he then made this amazing statement that's a Gideon statement. He says, how grateful, in verse 10 of Philippians 4, I am, and how I praise the Lord that you are concerned about me again. I know that you've always been concerned about me, but for a while you didn't have the chance to help me. Not that I was ever in need, for I have learned how to get along happily, whether I have much or little. I know how to live on almost nothing and with everything. I've learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it's a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little. And here it is. I can do everything with the help of Christ, who gives me the strength I need. And that's exactly what Gideon is learning. The very same thing reflected to the Philippian church. We can do anything and everything with the help of Christ, who gives us strength that we need. It seems to me that we have to learn we do have a choice in every situation. You can't always plan life. I've discovered that you can't always plan what's going to happen. There are lots of things that have happened in my life I did not plan. You know, the health issues, the financial issues, the people issues, the family things. I mean, these are things that I would not have written down on my to-do list and wanted to see some of these things accomplished, but or even to happen, but they do. And when they do come and you realize there are just some things you can't do anything about, you still come up to a choice. And will I choose Christ in this as an opportunity, or will I only see it as an opposition and end up in a really bad place? Opportunity, opposition. Gideon is shown to be the man who will triumph, but he has to overcome, and it should be very obvious, his own self-doubt, his own insecurity, his own inadequacy. Gideon's us. That we face a Mennonite army, and we feel like, I have felt this way. God, why are you pulling away all the resources? Give me a break. You cannot pull away all my resources. Because it already wasn't so good to start with. And now it's only worse. It wasn't 4-1, now I'm 450-1. You can't do this. You can't take this person. You can't bring this thing about. Why would this ever happen? And I come back, but Steve, you can do anything and everything through me that strengthens you. And that's a huge sometimes hill we got to climb, because that's not always my first thought. That is not always where I go. But he says literally, you can survive with boldness. You can be strong because I, Jesus, keep you going. I empower you. I bring ongoing life into you. And so Paul learns this lesson. Gideon learns this lesson. We must learn this lesson. The secret of life, and I'm going to give you the secret of life now. Jesus strengthens me. That is my secret. And that's the secret you need to learn. Jesus strengthens you. Jesus strengthens us. Our own adequacy is really not going to win the day. We need to be God adequate, God sufficient, God empowered. And with Jesus, there's amazing things that can happen. You know, I know in Greg's life, how did he get through with Kirsten all he went through? He said it, Jesus. As much as he wanted to fix it and do it all, I think he came to a point he realized it was too big, too much, and he had to trust Jesus. I believe every one of us would probably come to that point where we would say in our life, I know many of your stories, work situations, family situations, economic situations, health situations. At some point, you come to a place where you realize, God, this is overwhelming. I need you. That's the secret to success in life for a believer, and really for anyone, is Jesus strengthens me. And God's going to declare, I am bigger than any problem. I am bigger than any failure. I am bigger than any regret. I am bigger than any sin or guilt. And if you let me, if you try me, I will open a door. I will come into your life. I will forgive you. I will restore you. I will strengthen you in a way. I will chase away the Mennonites, even though it's 450-1. Even though you are so outnumbered, they will not win. Trust in me. And I just know if we ask him, he will be the biggest presence in your life. So be a Gideon. Go to battle, but realize you go to battle with God.